everybody. Mm-hmm. Welcome to the Cat Timp Show. I'm here with Ben Kissel.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Kat.
Yeah, this is the first time that you've been on with It's Just Us. Last time was me, you, my dad.
Yep.
Last time it was me, you, and Jan Tisdale.
Oh, my God.
How you?
There's good. There's a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
I have to be like a widow, and I also have to be a woman.
Well, you brought 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 beers.
I'm always drinking for two, Kat. I have a bunch of Domino's pizza in my stomach from last night's rendezvous with love.
Did you?
And yeah, so now I'm drinking to make sure that my Domino's pizza has company in my stomach.
Yeah.
Which is good. I also, Kat, we were talking about weight before the show started. I bought an exercise bike.
Yeah, I heard that from Walmart.
From Walmart.com, and I've been biking and biking and biking. I'm a real Lance Armstrong. I've started doing steroids and listening to Sheryl Crow songs.
Wait, did the bike come in?
The bike came in.
It's in your living room.
It's in my living room. I put it together, and I've been biking at least 3.5 minutes every single day now, and I burned a total of 75 calories.
Oh, my God.
So I think if I can burn 100 calories throughout the whole week, that's like half of one of these beers.
Yeah.
So I'm losing weight.
I know. I'm rapidly gaining weight.
You look perfect.
Thank you.
The hottest you've ever been.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the fattest I've been other than college.
That's great. But you're not fat, though. You're
no,
a 2.
No, I'm not trying to say that. Yeah, I'm a size 2. I went from a 0 to a 2. So,
you better watch it. You can start taking pictures of yourself and be like, am I, like, this is beauty now. And everyone will be like, you're still thin.
I'm a 2, so now I'm body positive thick woman.
Yeah, exactly. That's good. That's a huge market for that now.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll never understand it, by the way. We talk about it too much. I will never take a picture nude. You'll never see my body.
Yeah, bummer.
I would never shatter the universe with such a disgusting image.
I think I want to get a personal trainer.
Get one.
Like, why wouldn't I? Why
well,
wouldn't
a personal
I
trainer is also a great way to find love. You never know when it's going to be the perfect guy.
I was thinking that. I want to, like, find a personal trainer, but I only want one that's hot.
I feel like it could be sort of similar to that movie, what was it, Blades of Steel or Blades of Glory or something like that, where the hockey player had to become an ice skater, and then the ice skater who was professional had to train him how to ice skate, and they fell in love because he could hold her over his head and make her look like she was flying into a building or something.
Yeah, I don't think I would be into an ice figure skating man.
No, I know. No, he's a hockey guy.
Oh, hockey guy.
He's a hockey guy, and then he had to become a figure skater because he had too many concussions or something like that.
No. Hockey guys.
Oh, my goodness. Well, we all know about them. Great on the ice.
Yeah,
that's what I've heard.
Yeah. Okay, so we're talking about bodies. We got to talk about Lena Dunham.
You want to talk about her?
I went nuts. I went nuts on Lena Dunham on Twitter last night.
You did?
I had to.
Oh, my God. What
did
she do?
She's driving me nuts.
Why?
You didn't hear about this?
Well, I know. I saw the pictures that they took in, I believe it was Vanity Fair, where they went, unphotoshopped. I mean, you know, it is what it is. I don't fully understand the movement. I have to be frank. But what was it about Lena Dunham that got you so upset?
She was whining about going to the Met Gala. So here's the story here. I'm sure everybody but you has heard it by now because
Thank
it's
God.
all over the Twitter.
Yeah.
She was complaining because she went to the Met Gala in a tuxedo.
Okay.
To be like, I'm different and I'm challenging norms. And then she said she was sitting next to Odell Beckham Jr.
Mm.
This is a quote from her in the interview. And it was so amazing because it was like he looked at me, was determined I was not the shape of a woman by his standards. He was like, that's a marshmallow. That's a child. That's a dog. It wasn't mean. He just seemed confused. The vibe was very much like, do I want to fuck it? Is it wearing a, yep, it's wearing a tuxedo. I'm going to go back to my cell phone.
Wait, hold on a second. Is she just putting these thoughts into Odell
Beckham
Jr.'s mind?
Exactly.
By the way, Odell Beckham, of course, is a hero.
Right.
Specifically here in New York. Odell Beckham, he's a great guy.
Right. There's so many things wrong with this. Number one, she's complaining. She's like, my life is so hard.
Right.
I have to go to the Met Gala. It's so hard. And it was not that fun.
Oh,
shut
tragic.
Up. Shut up.
Yes.
Number two, she's putting these thoughts in this dude's head. She's publicly smearing him for not talking to her, not hitting on her. But we all know that if someone was hitting on her, then that would be like rape culture. What would happen? Has she ever sat next to a dude and didn't feel like talking to him?
Mm-hmm.
Would she be sympathetic if he came out and was like, Lena Dunham was looking at her phone instead of talking to me? She'd be like, why do you feel ownership of my time and body? Is it because I'm a woman? And do not wear a tuxedo because you're to try to like be different and change norms, and then be mad when you feel like people are treating you differently.
Right, exactly. I mean, the great irony is, of course, wearing a tuxedo, I don't care what you wear. Wear a goose like Bjork did. I think it's wonderful.
Yeah.
But don't pretend as if you're doing something. It completely counteracts what you're doing. If you're doing it like, oh my God, can you believe I'm wearing a tuxedo? This is ridiculous. Yeah. You just have to wear it and be natural. Like when Cher would dance around with her ass out, she was like, oh, is my ass out? I didn't even notice. I'm just being me.
Right.
You know, it's like it totally contradicts the whole point of the, if you want to make wearing a tuxedo normal, which I think it is normal, quite frankly, 2016. I mean, who cares? Then you just have to not even mention it. You can't just go. It reminds me of when comedians, you can tell when they're actively working on a bit every time you speak to them, and they're like mining for and trying to create situations that they, so then they can like, you know, work on a little stand-up routine for their next open mic. Like they alter reality to fit this narrative that they have on the internet, and it really sucks because they're not living anymore.
Right, exactly. And it's like, I would never go anywhere wearing a tuxedo because I do want people to hit on me. I do want to go out looking hot and like wearing a little dress.
I mean, I think a chick in a tuxedo can be extremely hot. Who cares? Just own it. But don't pretend as if you're some saint for wearing a traditionally male garb.
She went there thinking, I'm going to wear this tuxedo and people are going to treat me like shit, and then I'm going to talk about it, and then I'm going to be a hero for gender nonconformity. And it's like, no, you actually took down another person by name who is a human being,
right,
and not a vehicle for whatever point that you thought was cute that you were trying to make.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a...
Not to mention a black fella.
And I was just going to say, that was exactly what I was saying. Not to mention this is a black man. And then she was also talking about... talking about how she was grinding on Michael B. Jordan for 20 minutes.
Michael B. Jordan, of course, he played... he was in the Rocky film. He played Apollo Creed, correct?
I don't know.
I think that's his. Like,
I'm looking for this.
He's a very handsome guy. So what is she just doing? Is she just going and sexually accosting all the black celebrities
exactly.
in order to get some? I don't even. Why would she be doing that? And is she what kind of sympathy do we have to give to this multimillionaire, this child who came from nothing but wealth? The nepotism is just insane. She oozes money. Her entire family is they have put more black people out of homes than anybody else can ever imagine. More than Donald Trump. I mean, they are the problem. You can't just come from wealth and have a horrible body and then go out there and attempt to tell everyone that you're beautiful and then claim that everyone is being mean to you when you went to the Met Gala in a tuxedo that no one even mentioned.
That's the other thing. Nobody's like forcing her to not exercise and eat healthier food.
I don't even
like,
care
if
that
she
she's
want,
overweight.
But if she like right, but if, like if that's her issue, she's complaining. She said. Then she tweeted. She tried to tweet an apology last night. She said that OBJ3 is talented, stylish, seems super awesome, and wasn't into chatting with me at a fancy party.
Why would he does not have to talk to you?
He does not have to talk to you. And then she said
the same way that women talk about. Men constantly approaching
exactly.
them on the street. Men, first of all, don't do that. Although, you know, I mean, sometimes I'm not going to get in the way of love. Perhaps that's how some relationships blossom. But I think they're talking about, in general, guys just being like, hey, mommy, you know, just yelling at people about their butts or breasts or whatever. I don't think they're trying to find a relationship. But if you are super attracted to someone, you go up to them and you really, you know, if you're interested, you have to talk to them. That's fine. But like, it's like, it's so funny that she's just flipping the entire script and getting upset when a guy is following the rules of feminism.
Exactly what she says she wants. And then she said, my story about him was clearly to me about my own insecurities as an average-bodied woman at a table of supermodels and athletes. Oh, so I'm supposed to feel bad for you because you're invited to hang out with supermodels and athletes? Oh, my God, that's so sad. I would love to be at a table like that and, you know, maybe... She never mentioned trying to talk to him, getting to know people, getting to know what maybe they have to say. Maybe the entire Met Gala is not about you and your own insecurities about your body, and it's just boring.
What she would actually look like at this Met Gala, if you look at the history, it's like Neanderthal, then it's like whatever, then it's like man, and now we're back to being hunched over on our phones. What she looked like at this Met Gala was a hunched over woman in the corner tweeting.
Yeah.
She wasn't engaging. She wasn't in reality. You know, that's the whole problem with our culture right now. Everyone is living these virtual lives and trying to get this virtual persona. But in reality, what that looks like is an extremely boring situation.
Yeah, absolutely. And then she tweeted, P.S. I'll try to dance myself on a Michael B. Ford Jordan if I have the chance. Even when I'm a married grandma, I'm a red-blooded straight woman. People are like, are you serious?
What is wrong
with
her?
So after you apologize, you're going to be like, I also own this other black man's body.
Yeah, what? I mean, this is ridiculous.
Even if he doesn't want me near him at all.
And frankly, she doesn't even have, I mean, her body is unique. It's, you know, it's her own thing. But it's not, I mean, I'm from the Midwest. It's
not atrocious.
It's not that bad. It's fine. I mean, that's how people look. She looks like a human being.
Also, she has like a serious boyfriend. He just calls her partner. Like, that dude from Fun. So it's like, so this guy. So
she's cheating on him publicly.
So this man didn't, I mean, maybe they were, I don't know. Maybe this, I don't think they did, though. This, because that would have been everywhere.
Jack Antonoff,
really
they're
care.
Still together.
Yeah, they're still together. Thank you. Thanks, Chad. Shout out to Chad. Yeah, they're still together. Thanks, Chad. Yeah, that's what I thought. And it's like, so this black man and this other black man didn't try to get you to cheat on your boyfriend with you in your tuxedo, and that's a problem.
It's almost like they're not stereotypes from a rap video. That's so fascinating. I mean, that's the problem with this entire culture right now. It sort of eats itself because they've created such strict rules, and you talk about it all the time in your articles. You're the best author out there. I was published this week in Heat Street.
Way to go. What'd you talk about?
It was all about Gene Wilder and how most of his characters could never be portrayed today because he would be demonized as a white male privilege and as a ableist. For example, in See No Evil, Hear No Evil, he played somebody who is deaf, and you have a situation now where they only want deaf people to play deaf people. They don't want actors to act. For example, Mark Ruffalo is in a bunch of trouble right now because he was cast as a transgender person, and they're upset because he's not trans, but it's like, They're actors.
Yeah.
That's the whole point. You know, it's like Willy Wonka. Like, it's like,
that's also kind of like saying that if you're trans, you can't play any character.
Exactly. You have to be able to transform yourself.
Yeah.
You know,
and, you know, if you're trans, trans actors for trans roles. How about trans actors for whatever fucking role? Because you're actors.
John Travolta has acted like a straight man in every single movie. Okay.
it's ridiculous.
It is so ridiculous. So that was the article. It was just about how you have Blazing Saddles, which said the N-word, I believe it was 17 or 19 times, never get past today, even though it was making a really strong social statement, you know, but people get caught up in the verbiage as opposed to the message. And so there, you know, what's been created in this country right now is so many stifling rules, and it's creating a silencing effect, which is the irony behind Beckham and the other fellow, Michael, not talking to her. They're terrified of being the next person who is on the hit list of the Lena Dunham mafia.
I completely agree with that. And oh, God, she's awful.
And this is not even... I have a terrible body, by the way. I mean, you know, I have no problem with her body. I mean, I also feel like I don't know why it's plastered on the cover of every single magazine, and we can't sit here and pretend. I feel bad for the girls who go and work out every single day. Their body is really, to some degree, a business for them if they're a model.
I don't understand the concept of, like... We need fatter models and models with bad, but it's like, no, their models, their body is their job. They're like these billboards aren't realistic. Correct. Because it's you realistically for you, your body's not your job.
Right. And normal people, like, for example, professional athletes, they are idolized because it's not realistic what they do. That's why people are in awe of them, you know?
Yeah. And even like, you know, me, like I work in television. And so, you know, I make an effort to, you know, stay in shape.
Right.
And look good because I'm going to be on TV and I want to look good. And that's something I want to do for myself.
Right.
And I enjoy it and I love it. And it's like not like this crazy, like, there's no one yelling at me like, you better stay skinny, you're fired.
Right.
It's just like a normal thing that you'd want to do. If you want to go into that, you want to look good, like what's the problem?
But there is no denying, and Kat, you deal with this on a regular basis, that there is true scumbags out there, and there are people who are just going to body shame a woman no matter what.
You get
you're fat, you're skinny, like I've seen tweets
back to back.
Like, it is so like schizophrenic, your Twitter feed, when it comes to people deciding to comment on your weight. So there is an issue with people trying to you know, project what they believe a perfect ideal human being should look like on other people.
Right.
But like, you know, Lena Dunham, in my opinion, is just not the one who should be on the forefront of this issue. She's also voting for a war criminal named Hillary Clinton, who is the reason that, you know, thousands and thousands and thousands of people are dead all around the world.
Who, by the way, you know, the thing that really, obviously, Hillary Clinton would get to me with the people accused her husband of sexual assault, like more than 10. Has there ever been a guy other than Bill Clinton who has been accused repeatedly of sexual assault by more than 10 women that still has feminist favor?
I mean, it is absolutely
insane. Is there
anyone
else?
I can't think of one.
Yeah.
I mean, it's perhaps maybe Dov Charnov, but even he, the American Apparel guy, is sort of in the bad graces of everyone.
But he is in the bad graces of everyone.
Yes.
That's the difference. It's like, you have these feminists being like, I'm with her, I'm with her, I'm with her. And they're completely ignoring the fact that, it's not just people like, well, it was her husband. It's like, well, so she's still married to him.
Mm-hmm.
And she actively worked to destroy these women's lives. She is rape culture.
She is the definition of it.
So it's like we have this first this, for, you know, people say like, this is rape culture, you know, offering someone a ride from is rape culture. Like, I write about this shit every day. No. Hillary Clinton is rape culture.
Right.
And I'm supposed to be excited that she's the first female going to be, you know, she's going to be the president.
Oh, like, there's no doubt about it.
Female president. That's supposed to make me excited. That makes me sick.
I mean, I'm stumping for Gary Johnson. I love Gary Johnson. September 10th, he's having a massive rally. I hope that you can come and speak at it, Kat.
I should come.
With Hillary, I mean, obviously Donald Trump is a total lunatic, so I don't want to sit. I mean, this is what's so wrong with this election. I think Meghan McCain, our friend, is just like, this is a dumpster fire. Like, she's just upset. Meghan is the best. But with Hillary Clinton, and I don't want to get too political, you know, or again, I don't care.
Yeah, we can do whatever.
You know, you talk to liberals and the fact of the matter is, when you're voting for Hillary Clinton, you're voting for more of a Bush than an Obama. And you're voting for someone in 1994, the crime bill, which sent the most amount of people to prison, black people in prison, than any president in history. There was 800,000 people in prison in 1992. When Bill Clinton left office, there was 1.5 million. You have the 1033 program, which was the extension of that program. The criminal justice program, which allowed for the militarization of police. Then you have the situation where she voted for the Iraq war. You have the nation building in Libya. You have the foundation, which is just taking money from the Saudis, which is the most corrupt nation on the face of the planet with zero human rights whatsoever. So when you do vote for Hillary Clinton, if you are a liberal, just know that you have blood all over your hands and you're voting for a hawk who is the most conservative person in this election.
And exactly. She absolutely is. And not only that, but if you talk about if you're voting for her for feminist reasons, she is where she is because she used the tools and did the exact same thing that every man who has gained a position of power through patriarchy has done, which is if she was a feminist, she would have said, okay. And I hate when people counter it by telling me, if you ever had a guy cheat on you, and if so, wouldn't you hate that woman? We're not talking about cheating here.
Right.
We're talking about these women say, he raped me. He bit me. I was bleeding. And she says, you know, bimbo eruption, shut this slut up. Okay.
Right.
That she is where she is because she took advantage of the same tactics that men use to feel the patriarchy. Just because she has a vagina doesn't make it any better or any different. It's the same. It's the same system continuing to succeed.
But I will say she is better than Lena when it comes to clothing because she wears those pantsuits, but she doesn't go up there and be like, look what I'm wearing. It's a pantsuit. She just rocks it. Hillary Clinton does rock a pantsuit. I have to give her credit for that.
Yeah.
She owns those things. Jeez. And she looks perfect in a pantsuit.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, it's fascinating, this election.
Yeah, it really, really is. You know what else is fascinating?
What?
All the wonderful things you can do with coconuts in terms of beauty products, okay? It's very, very versatile. Kapari is this line of products that's all coconut stuff. You know, the bathroom, especially if you live in the city, the shelf space is very, very limited. So that's why I'm so excited to introduce all you guys to a line of beauty products that are great at multitasking. They moisturize, they smell great, they can be used in your skin, your hair, but without any sulfates, silicones, GMOs, parabens, any of that bad stuff. They're made with 100% organic coconut oil. There's the coconut sheer oil, the coconut balm, coconut crush scrub, the original coconut melt, and then the coconut body glow, which is shimmery, but it's not glittery, and I put that on my legs before I go on TV, and they look all shimmery and beautiful. And you know, they searched around the world, these people at Kapari, for an oil of the highest quality with a great aroma and a non-gritty texture where you can use on all different parts of your body. So if you want to say aloha, Ben, to the best skin and hair of your life with Kapari, go to KapariBeauty.com/KAT, as in me. You can get 20% off your order. That's Kapari, KOPARI. Beauty.com/KAT for 20% off.
My question to you, Kat, does it work on loose skin?
Yes, it does. It works on all types of skin. We got all kinds of good stuff. Coconut crush scrub buffs you beautiful. Okay? It does. It's one. It gets rid of those dead skin cells.
Yeah.
It's all wonderful. You can use it on your hair, your skin. It's great. You know? It's wonderful. And you're making yourself beautiful with nature.
I think that's wonderful.
Isn't it wonderful?
It sounds like something that Buffalo Bill might like.
I really do use this stuff. That's the thing.
You should. Yeah, and you have great skin. You have perfect skin. Considering how much you vape, I mean, it's amazing.
I know.
You even
I have to quit. I have to. I'm starting to think I have to quit. But
why? Are you getting the popcorn lung?
No, I don't know. I just feel like I'm not going to quit. I don't even know who I'm getting here.
Yeah, I mean, you know, vaping is okay. You do it quite dramatically and in excess, but, you know, it's your brand now.
It is.
I was talking the other day. You remind me, did you ever read the comic book Transmetropolitan.
No.
It's a great comic book. It takes place in the future. I forget the name of the main journalist, but he's this sort of a Hunter S. Thompson type. And I was reading it the other day, just thumbing through, as I'll do on occasion when I smoke a little bit of something.
Marijuana.
You never know. And
is it beer?
No, that's wine.
All right.
And he reminds me of you. So go out there, read Transmetropolitan. This guy, he's just sort of, I can already picture you as sort of a grizzled, but beautiful as always, a journalist in the future, just commenting on current events, and you're going to be getting driven insane.
I can't wait to be like, sometimes I can't wait to be like in my 40s and like have some wrinkles and my voice will be even deeper.
Oh, yeah.
I'll be still single, I'm sure.
You will not be single unless you want to be single, and that's your right as a woman.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I want to kind of do it. Maybe I'll be like, I want to be like maybe 50 and have like be a professor I'm like old,
so
and like
hot.
And then like hook up with my students.
Well, I mean,
no,
you know,
I'm kidding.
No, that's fine. You're allowed to hook up with college students.
Yeah,
I don't think
I'd do that.
Well, I mean, who wants to be with a young 21-year-old man? I mean, I'm 35 years old now, and I remember being 21. And what do? You don't know what you just don't know the ins and outs of everything. You think vaginas all, you know, you think of them just like sort of like watermelons with holes in them. You don't understand the ins and outs of the human anatomy.
A lot of 21-year-old jackhammers out there, yeah.
Well, they just go in and go in and go in, and sometimes, you know, you want to pave the road. You don't want to tear the whole damn thing up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. That's it. You should teach sex eds.
I should. Sometimes, kids, take it from me. I am drunk now, and I will be drunk later. You want to just go in, and sometimes you don't want to punch. You want to. Anyway, where's the microwave?
Oh, man.
That'll be nice.
Microwave. I microwaved some enchiladas last night.
Did you?
I only ate half of it, and I threw the rest away.
I made a huge mistake last night, and it was really a juvenile mistake, and I blamed some gummies that I ate and the beer that I consumed. I went on Domino's.com.
Edibles will... Ugh.
They will mess you up, man. Mm-hmm. It was a gummy bear, and I was like, it's so cute. And I had its little arm, and then I was like, no, nothing's happening. So I had its little foot, and then it was like, oh my God, I got kicked in the face. And I went on Domino's.com, and I was going for the $5.99 medium pizza special. That's classic Kissel. That's what I do.
Right.
The last pizza, I got four because I had some friends coming over. They never showed up, but they did show up, and that's fine. But I ate most of the pizza alone. But the last pizza, I accidentally got a large, which completely negated the entire Domino's medium pizza special. So when the guy showed up, the bill is $55. It was supposed to be $24. The whole thing fell apart. I was really embarrassed. I had mud all over my face, and people mocked me openly.
Oh, God. I ordered a pizza to your apartment. Was it a couple weeks ago? A large pizza?
So. Yes.
I heard that you came back from your stupor slumber and ate the whole pizza.
Yeah, you and my gal were hanging out.
Yeah.
And you guys were talking and being like, Ben is such a dream. He's like Tom Brady, but if Tom Brady was better, you know?
Yeah, you
guys
nailed
were just,
it.
Yeah.
Those are all my conversations, actually.
Yeah. And then I went to sleep because I was far too drunk to be awake.
Yeah.
I woke up at 3. And I finished, I think you only had like one piece.
It was an 18-inch pizza.
It was huge.
With meatballs, ricotta cheese, broccoli, tomatoes, onions. It was very good.
It was.
I had one piece. Brooke had one piece.
Yeah.
You had all the rest of the pieces.
Yeah, it was like, I think
vile.
I had 14 inches of pizza. But I thought it was good, and I don't remember eating it. I think I ate it from 3 o'clock in the morning to 3:05 in the morning. It was just a quick consumption. And then, I mean, I always say, if you eat fast, are you gaining weight?
Yes.
I don't think so.
Yeah, you are.
If you trick your body.
No, it's
trickery?
Bullshit.
It's bullshit?
Bullshit, yeah. Mm. Pizza's going to make you fat, Ben.
No, pizza makes you happy, but then for some reason I'm gaining weight. I don't know what it is. I think I'm working out too much.
Yeah, on your bike?
I'm
going to come over and ride that exercise bike.
Oh, you're welcome to do it. Yeah, I mean, I think it'll be fun to watch you on there. And the bike itself, it's pretty sturdy considering, you know, I got it from Walmart.
Yeah, is the weight limit? Bigger than the weight limit?
You know what,
Kat?
This is a bit of an issue, and we talked about this. I didn't realize that bikes had weight limits.
Of course they do.
Well, they're exercise
elevators
bikes.
Elevators do.
Yeah, well, elevators do, but it's a pretty high weight. It's like 1,300 pounds.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, it's not the elevator of bikes, but I got the bike, and then I was so proud of myself, and then my roommate Mike texted me being like, did you check the weight limit? And I was like...
Oh, love Mike.
You know, I was like, yeah, I checked it.
Coming in with the harsh reality.
Yeah. And then I looked at the weight limit, and the weight limit is 220 pounds. I am currently 270 pounds.
Oh, shit.
So I'm riding it. I never know when it's going to break, when the whole thing is going to fall apart, but I'm taking it until the end. And quite frankly, the way that I put it together, it's so sturdy, I think it's going to last until I get down to 220.
So your living room is kind of small, though.
We rearranged the entire thing. It's a beautiful living room. We have a huge American flag, and it looks perfect. We got a Gary Johnson wall, so I was able to squeeze it in. You know what we had to do? Throw a bunch of pillows away. Too many pillows in the living room.
Those pillows are all real gross anyway.
Oh, they're disgusting.
They've been in people's butt cracks, I'm sure.
Oh, every single kind of butt crack. And all of my friends are huge and hairy and sweaty.
Sweaty, yeah.
Oh, they're the sweatiest of all the...
You have the sweatiest friends.
Oh, they're Henry Zebrowski, who was on the show previously. I mean, the man... He sweats profusely. He'll sweat in a freezer. I mean, it's ridiculous.
I've never met somebody sweat so much like that. Well, it's a Polish sweats. I get a little sweaty, but you know, not that bad.
We'll use that skin cream, so I think
it's
all good.
Yeah, I absolutely do. And you know, the summer it's nice. You know, your glasses fog up. You know, glasses. My glasses are from Warby. People ask me where they're from. They're from Warby Parker.
Okay, who the hell is Warby Parker?
Well, let me tell you who
Sounds
Warby
like
Parker
can't stand
is. Okay,
up.
It is it's a vintage inspired line of glasses with a contemporary twist.
Okay,
and they're very, 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 very affordable because they decided to cut out the middleman, and you can sell. They sell directly to customers either online or in their stores. So the prescription glasses, they start at $95, and this is frames, lenses, prescriptions, coatings, absolutely everything. And you can even do like the try at home program where you go online, you order 5 pairs of glasses, have them shipped directly to your home, and you see which ones you like. And then you have 5 days to try them on, show them to your friends and family. So you can, you know, show them to everybody, send the pictures on what looks best. And then you pick the ones you like, you order your favorite pair. And, you know, you just send the rest of them back. It's wonderful. You know, and you know what? The glasses are they're fashion accessory. Okay. You don't even need to have a prescription to have glasses because you know what? They look really, really cool.
Totally.
They look great. They make you look smart. They make you look cool. You don't wear glasses. You're not have glasses on. People are going to walk by you. You put glasses on. People are going to say, what do you think about the crisis in the Middle East? And that's just true.
Totally.
And so I'm a big, big proponent of that, you know, and even if you don't like any of the frames, you can send them all back, and it's just 100% free. So you really got nothing to lose, but I think you'll like them. I got my glasses that I have on now from Warby Parker.
They're
and
great.
I had a hard time deciding between these and some other pairs because there's a lot. You know, and so there's a lot of options, and for every pair of glasses that they sell, they distribute a pair of glasses to somebody in need who needs them. So you're also a philanthropist. You can go if you're interested, which you should be, glasses make futures. Head to warbyparker.com/cat, warbyparker.com/KAT as in me, to order your free home try-ons today. You can choose the 5 frames you like to try on, mail the frames back, choose your favorite pairs to have your prescription added to them and order. Or, you know, again, if you don't have a prescription, that's okay because glasses are for everybody. It's completely risk-free. You have nothing to lose. Free shipping all around. Visit warbyparker.com/KAT to begin your free home try-on experience today. Very, very cool. A lot of options. Check it out. I do. I'm serious.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is you know, my sponsor, but that is where my glasses are from, and I do love them.
Warby Parker sounds like someone who is just one, you know, incident away from becoming a superhero. It also sounds like someone you can't knock over. You can't knock over Warby Parker.
Well, it was
I don't
the name that
why.
Jack Kerouac used in one of his personal journals.
Is
so
that right?
It's inspired by Jack. Yeah. It's road less travel type of eyewear.
I love it. And
I
they cut
too.
Out the middleman. Although I can't stop and think, you know, everyone's cutting out the middleman. What's he doing now? You know,
he's
there is a
bored.
I think he's sad. I think he's in his basement, you know, surrounded by wood paneling and a series of Jack Daniels, empty bottles. And he's staring at pictures of the kids that no longer talk to him because he didn't talk to them when he was a middleman who was employed. He said, I'm too good for you. And then they cut him out. And then he just sits there alone in the basement drinking and probably trolling you on Twitter.
Yeah, I do get a lot of the trolling me on Twitter. I think that Twitter should be an easier way to meet good men.
I don't think that Twitter is the way to meet good men whatsoever.
Yeah, maybe just like famous men will follow me and DM me. And
well, I think if a famous man follows you and DMs you, is that something that you would be interested in as a possible long-term relationship? I mean, just say Dee Snider. Dee Snider, the most famous of all the men.
Only if it was Jack Black.
Jack Black, so that's your guy. So Jack Black, this is a call out to you. I believe he's married, though. I love Tenacious D, but DM Kat, and she'll get back to you. And
I mean,
she loves your funny music.
Vape.
I love a good vape.
I'm not Jack Black's. Obviously, I prefer to date men that are thinner than me.
thinner.
Yeah.
Well, you're going to have to find maybe Jesse from MTV way back in the day, Deep Cut, Who Wants to Be a VJ, Jesse Camp. He looked like he was addicted to heroin, because he was. And maybe someone as thin as him, he wears a zero.
I know. I like to be like, you're so skinny, I couldn't get your jeans over my hips.
Why do you want a guy that's so thin? You want a protector who can take care of you.
Well, they got to be tall.
Yeah, tall. But I mean, tall guys get taken down all the time.
I don't know what's wrong with me, but that's like my type.
So you want an anorexic, you want a victim. It sounds like you want a victim, such as someone like Buffalo Bill, who was hanging out in his chamber for a series of days and months.
I've dated all kinds of guys. I don't even know. I've dated hippies.
Yeah.
I've dated...
you dated some jocks in your day.
Some jocks. Of course. I've dated some... I'm pro bro. All right.
Yeah,
let's be real. I'm pro bro.
You have a pro bro feel. Yeah.
I'm pro bro. I've definitely dated, athletes. I've dated... Mm-hmm. Tattoo models. I've dated a lot of comedians. I really seem to have a comedian problem.
Well, I think you need to avoid
comedians. Yeah.
All the people, I think comedians and maybe tattoo models, but I'm not sure about the tattoo models because I didn't know that was a job.
When I lived in LA. It's a job there.
Yeah. But isn't the tattoo the model and you're just sort of the carrier of it?
Yeah.
It sort of reminds me of Total Recall.
He was a Colombian. It's very, very, he's a crazy guy. It was when I was living in Long Beach, and when I was homeless, I like briefly lived with him and his family, mm-hmm. his Colombian family. They're very nice people.
Yeah.
But I was at a layover from Vegas at the Long Beach airport, and I got all these messages from a number I didn't recognize because I checked into the airport because I was getting so many memories. Like, I've come so far since I would like had scabies. Oh, I had scabies. My mom always told me not to tell people that I used to have. I had. Well, I mean, it's like just like whatever.
Yeah, scabies. I did. Are just
I had scabies
friends.
from the bus in my neighborhood of squalor. And
I'm not even sure what scabies are.
It's they're bugs that they go under your skin and they burrow under there, and you just itch so bad, and you get covered with bites. And
I think it's kind of fun.
No, it's so bad. Like you wake up in the middle of the night because it itches so bad, and the way that you cure it is you have to cover yourself, get totally naked, cover yourself with the cream, and sit with your arms and legs out. I'm 22 years old and I have no home, and me and my cat are squatting at this Colombian family this Colombian family's house in Long Beach, and I'm just they've taken me in, and I'm sort of involved with their son, and I'm sitting there like just naked in their room, and they're like sitting there, and they're like, she's like helping me with my laundry, his mom, and I'm like, you don't have to do that. She's like so nice, and I'm just sitting there, I'm like, I went to college.
Oh my god.
Well, but I stuck with my dreams.
And Lena Dunham didn't enjoy the Met Gala.
Yeah, Lena Dunham, fuck you. Her parents, fuck you. You know what she did after college? That was what I did after college, trying to make my dreams come true. You know what she did? She moved to New York, and her parents paid for her to live in New York for 2 years so she could finish her screenplay.
I mean, it's
if that's your life, there's no way you're going to be anything but a piece of shit.
Well, there is no way that you can actually relate to a normal person's life, and she desperately tries, but of course she misses the mark on every turn. With the scabies, I feel like it's kind of fun because you can be your own god. You're sort of your own universe. You know, if you set up some voting stations in there, maybe you can get these scabies to really start being something special.
Yeah, I think they're gone.
Like your own.
I've been scabies, not to brag, been scabies free for quite some time.
I kind of want scabies. I've never had any big disease other than a blood clot that nearly killed me.
Yeah, well, that's, yeah.
That was big.
That guy, by the way, when I checked into that airport, I got a text from a random number being like, I miss you so much. I'm on my way over there. And I'm on my way to the airport. I'm going to come through security. I was like, who is this? I'm like, oh, it's Colombian redacted. Name redacted.
Oh, my God. So then that whole thing fell apart.
Well, I mean, no, this was last year. I don't speak to this guy anymore. But he was like, he saw that I was in Long Beach, and he decided that I was the love of his life, and he never got over me, and he's going to come to the airport. And I was like, Jesus Christ, get me on the plane.
Yeah, you know what? I feel like it's difficult because 1980s romantic comedies, in theory, that sounds like a great idea.
But also, you're a tattooed Colombian man. You will be shot. Please do not come to the airport.
Well, they've gotten a little bit more strict over the years.
That's the thing. Maybe you could have done it in the 90s, but I was like, what is your plan when you get here? He's like, I don't know. I love you. I'm like, I'm leaving.
It's sort of a Cusack say anything type thing, but at the same time, in modern day America, with the terrorism that we have, Cusack would have been shot holding that boombox outside of that woman's window. He would have been arrested for stalking. So I think that this man probably would have been tased and beaten brutally by the cops in front of your
right.
eyes.
I really don't want that to happen to him.
No, you can't date somebody. After you see a guy get like totally tased and beat up by a bunch of cops, you can't date him anymore.
I could.
Well, maybe it's kind of hot. Yeah. I couldn't date the cops, that's for sure. They're mean-spirited.
I do have a Hispanic thing. I've dated a lot of you know, I do have a little Hispanic thing too.
Like, well, I mean, I think that's good. You got to be diverse. I think I have been with everybody on the face of the planet, other than somebody with scabies.
Yeah, well, you know? I mean,
that's never going to happen.
Well, people don't talk about their scabies.
Well, I mean,
also,
you see
Cheens,
a mention.
Cheens had fleas the same week that I had scabies. My apartment was just the itchiest place. And it was this horrible shanty in Long Beach. It was like really bad. The water like would go out like once a week. And I had no bed because I couldn't afford a bed. So I slept on a yoga mat. And I had like no internet. But I was like trying to make my little dumb dreams come true. You
Sounds
know what
like
I mean?
You were living in a developing nation and you
it
were
was
their
really
president.
Bad. No, it was. And I lived next to a church, which sounds nice. It's no. not when they had like the benefits for like homeless and everything.
Right.
Which is a good thing to do.
Totally.
However, they would ultimately turn into like drum circles outside of my apartment. Just like just like sexual harassment drum circles where some people were drumming and other people were like, "Hey, mommy, come over here.
I have to say,
I want to get you pregnant."
When I was a young child, I'm very sensitive to the people who are in need. I didn't grow up with a lot of money. We did foster care since I was 12.
Right.
You know, my father's just an immigrant truck driver. And when I was in college, I was a huge activist for, you know, homeless things and programs to, you know, to reform the system when I was in Milwaukee University. And then you move to New York and you realize, and I'm still, you know, very much in love with the institutions that help out these individuals, but many of them are just horrible people. You realize that a homeless person just threw chips at me yesterday. Just started throwing like random Pringle chips at me. I have no idea what happened.
Yeah,
they
you
curse
didn't do
you
anything.
Out all the time.
You didn't do anything.
I didn't do anything. And
except
I give
to have
money,
a home.
Have a home. Way too expensive. But that's the one thing that is never reported. Homeless people can be very mean-spirited, and a lot of them are jerks.
Well, that's the thing. It's like if you're in any of these jobs where you help people, it sounds really cute, but you don't realize that a lot of times people you're helping are like less savory people.
Oh, totally. I mean, if you're homeless, theoretically, well, to some degree, you have like a Brock Turner situation, this disgusting, the Stanford rapist.
What a piece of shit.
He's awful, and that judge should go to jail for sentencing him to no time whatsoever, 3 months in jail. It's nonsense. But you have someone like him, what's he going to do with his life? Obviously, he has money, but if he didn't, he would just have to go be homeless. His parents are going to call him.
Or if
him.
He was black, he'd be in prison.
Oh, if he was black, he'd be in prison for 30 years.
I hate when people
years.
Say that's not a thing. That's obviously a thing.
Oh, my God. They're way over sentenced, and so are men. I mean, the only thing that I agree with when it comes to some of the men's rights activists, the only thing that we do have to complain about is over sentencing of men compared to women for the exact same crime.
I don't watch movies. They're too long.
No, that's not true, Kat. You watch movies.
I watch BoJack Horseman.
Well, if you watch three episodes of BoJack Horseman,
I know,
you basically
but have
watch
you
the,
seen BoJack
movie.
Horseman?
Yes, it's funny. It's a good cartoon. He's a horse, and he's like kind of a mean guy.
No, but I know it's so much more than that. It's about how we'll never be happy.
That's what it's about.
Yeah.
It seems sad.
I know, but it's funny and sad, kind of like my life. Mm-hmm. And I look at him, and I'm like, "That's gonna be me when I'm washed up."
You're going to be a horse? You're going to be a cartoon
horse?
I'm
going to be a chubby horse. I'm going to be a horse with a soft middle.
Oh, well, that's good. People are going to love it.
Yeah, they're going to love it.
It'll be something they'll tap on it and, you know, watch it all jiggle and stuff.
Oh, man, I'm just going to work out after this. I don't know, man.
Don't work out. I mean, I think Saturdays are not for working out. That's when we're recording this. Saturdays are for fun and Applebee's and other things like that. Maybe even TGI Fridays. So don't worry about working out. I mean, you know, you have to have a little fun with your life. Otherwise, who cares if you're buff and sad? You want to be a little flab and glad.
Yeah, I guess. Have you ever cried in a fast food place or a restaurant?
I've cried. No, I don't know if I've ever cried in a restaurant because I'm just so joyed to be there. I'm so happy. Anytime I'm around deep fried foods and margaritas, anytime I see happy hour all day, half off apps, and then there's a waitress with a bunch of flair or a waiter with a bunch of flair, I'm thrilled. And so I can't be sad, but I have cried on a Greyhound bus.
You got to.
You have to.
Yeah.
I was sitting in the back of the bus, as I'll do, and a man went in and I was just having a horrific time. I had moved to the city and nothing was going my way. And you could argue things aren't really going my way now, although things are going better. And a man went in there and he did a bunch of drugs. And I could tell he was a heroin guy. And then he took the strangest smelling dump.
Ew.
And I was like, what am I doing? And I had to be in this Greyhound bus. I was going down to Tennessee for some comedy competition I didn't even want to be a part of. And I was like, what am I doing? And I did have a small tear run down my cheek. But I quickly sucked that tear right back into my eye. And I said, buck up, buttercup. It's time to do some comedy. And I
did. Well, that's great.
Or heroin.
I've had the strangest I took a 6 hour when I did when I was toured with Pablo Francisco for like a couple years ago. This is like right when I was starting out, you know, like I didn't have money, I didn't have, you know, and it was like not, you know, I was like hosting. Mm-hmm. And I had to take, I was in Pittsburgh with Pablo, and then I had to take an overnight Greyhound that left at 3 a.m. from Pittsburgh to D.C. And there was a family that they were all, they had taken up like an entire extended family. They took up an entire part of the bus, and they had a bag of burritos. And I'm like, oh, cool, there's a burrito for each one of the family. What they did is they took a single burrito. And it was like a smoke circle. They passed the burrito around and each took a bite. And this went on for like the entire bus ride.
It's kind of cute.
I was like, what was this? What is this, a bonding exercise?
I guess so.
Are we all trying to give each other mono?
It's
like,
a good
what's
way to get
happening
herpes
right now? This is weird. It was bad. I had to go, and then I had to change in a pot belly bathroom. And I went straight to my work at Campus Reform.
Oh, very nice. Campus Reform.
And Arlington. And it wasn't a day I'd put on my resume, but, you know, I had some good days over there. I did well. You know,
yeah.
You can't be your best all the time. I try to be.
I think you're doing great. I mean, you are you're as good as you can be on every single day. You know, and I think that's the most important thing. That's all we can do. You know,
do you keep hearing that New York City is supposed to be fun and it's like not always fun?
I don't hear that New York City is supposed to be fun.
People come on vacation here. They'll post on Facebook like three more days.
It's like they're stressed. They don't seem to be happy. They're always falling down on the subways. I was, having a conversation today. I saw a big, large family from Ohio a few months back just fall over on the subway. They don't know what they're doing. No one is happy. They all look like Batman's parents. In the 1989 version of Batman with Michael Keaton and Jack Nicholson, they all look like his parents, just lost and confused, and they're just waiting to get mugged by somebody who's going to become an arch-villain. I mean, they look atrocious and awful. So, no, I don't think New York is supposed to be fun. Times Square sucks the lifeblood out of you.
Oh, my God.
The neon lights make you feel as if you've just been on an ecstasy trip, but you never got the high. All you are is recovering from the low. No, New York is not supposed to be fun. L.A., on the other hand, that's where you're supposed to have a good time.
Yeah, but then you got to drive.
Yeah, and you have to be in the sun, and then everyone is, their own kind of awful. Maybe Seattle, where the world is sad, and so maybe you could fit right in and feel part of the society, or I think Seattle. I'm sticking with Seattle for you, Kat. You're a Seattle
personality.
I think
I'd probably meet a lot of men I was attracted to in Seattle.
Yeah, they dress horribly. They're all extremely malnourished. They all look like Eddie Vedder, but without any talent. So, boom.
Yeah.
That's perfect. You would find a guy in a heartbeat out there in Seattle.
Yeah, I would. It's just like... Also, the West Coast is so much more attractive than the East Coast.
They're more attractive because they don't have to wear clothes, and they're like, oh, this is my suit today. It's just me and my fucking cock sock, and I can go outside and be comfortable. In the Midwest, where we're from, you're constantly clothed, so there isn't necessarily even a need to be thin or be attractive because you're like, as long as my Carhartt looks good, they're going to think I look good. But in L.A. and the West Coast, your body is your suit.
Is it? Everyone's naked? That's not
they're
true.
They're all nude. Oh, my God. I
used to live there. Everybody's not naked, Ben.
They're basically naked. I was there just we sold out the Westwood Theater with the last podcast on the left.
Yeah, but maybe your fans are all naked.
No, well, their balls were out and their boobs were out. I mean, basically, they were too new to go to Disney World. That's for damn sure.
Who wants to go to Disney World?
I don't know, but some people do with kids. They like the mouse hat and the random teacup rides. They like to, you know, maybe lose a kid to an alligator every now and again.
Man, what a bummer, especially because the alligator didn't even eat the kid. They just suffocated him. Like, they could have...
I don't know. I mean, whatever.
How do you think
watch
they're doing?
Damn... The alligators,
the
they...
alligator family, the kid... They're probably still
I think
pretty
they're,
sad.
They're fine. They're not going back there anytime soon. I think they're going to Epcot Center or something like that, maybe Mall of America. But you know what? It's like...
You've been to Mall of America?
I've been to
is
Mall of...
Is it sad?
No,
it
Mall sad? Of America is amazing. I was there when it was Camp Snoopy. It's now Mott's... It's now what's the jelly?
Mott's Knott's.
Knott's.
K-N-O-T-T.
Yeah, now it's Knott's, but it used to be all... all peanuts all the time. It was Camp Snoopy. The log ride was great. Loved Mall of America. I got a jersey from there for Boomer Esiason. My father talked me down from a $100 jersey of Warren Moon to a $10 jersey of Boomer Esiason. Very good negotiator, better than Trump. And I have a great experience. I went to Planet Hollywood there when I was a child. I did comedy there. There was a comedy club.
You did child comedy?
No, when I was 19, I did it. But when I was a kid, I would go there to Planet Hollywood. And I always wanted to jump off the fourth floor and just splatter on the ground.
I just feel like those places are filled with germs.
Yeah, they are. The people that work there, too.
You remember, what was that place called? Discovery Zone?
Sure, I remember Discovery
Zone.
I'd
go to Discovery Zone as a kid, and I would always get strep throat.
Yeah, I mean, oh, of course. Yeah, I mean, the McDonald's ball pit at their
God,
McDonald's.
Why is that allowed?
Well, I think it's just a place, it's just a zoo for pedophiles. I mean, they're just in there glaring through the windows. I mean, like people were watching Harambe. That's what pedophiles do every single day to those children. They stare at them and they want to shoot them.
I saw a sexy Harambe Halloween costume for women.
I think that's great. I am so over this whole Harambe thing. It's ridiculous. You know what, people? You had to kill the damn thing because it was going to murder that boy.
Yeah.
That's the sad part. I guarantee you.
You don't know. I'm sorry. Why are you gorilla-splaining? You don't understand.
I'm gorilla-splaining because I'm the size of a gorilla.
You are. That's true. Fact check. He is a giant, giant creature.
I love Harambe, and I think he's a great gorilla. But
isn't it Harambe, Ben?
I don't know how to
show some respect for the dead on that. We respect the dead on this show.
People are more upset with Harambe than they are with the casualties in the Middle East and the casualties that happen on the streets every single day in this country because of police brutality and because of the...
Oh, shut up. I'm not trying to say I don't give a shit about police brutality.
Well, I'm just
saying.
Saying
why you hate this gorilla.
I don't hate the gorilla. I'm just saying there was a child involved, and if they would have tased it or if they would have drugged it, you would have 7 minutes of Harambe's mind going completely insane because he would be tripping out as if the Scarecrow from Batman Begins just blew mist into his face, and he would have looked at that kid, and that kid would have turned into a huge tulip with teeth, and he would have ripped its damn head off because he was tripping nuts on the tranquilizer.
It's Harambe, right? Harambe?
I don't know how to say the name, Kat.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, you had no other option, and I guarantee you this.
I agree with that. You got to kill the girl. I mean, you can't let a kid die.
You can't let a kid die. And if that kid, and I'm going to project a little bit of social warrior thought here. If that kid wasn't black, if that kid was white, no one would have a problem with killing
him. Social justice warrior.
That's what I'm saying.
Because social warrior, you could be for anything. You could, like, socially think.
Well, I believe that taxes should be paid by only the poor. Is that a thing?
Instead of everyone paying taxes, we should just sell poor people.
Here we go.
We should just sell poor people to countries where they can be. I'm going to try to button my pants.
Oh, you think you can do that? Ugh. You drank a lot of wine. Well, actually, I haven't had that much.
No, I haven't had that much wine. I had a skinny Rita.
Okay.
And I'm going to stand up.
You going to do it?
I'm going to get these pants on. I think later when we go out, I'm going to wear a dress because then I have more room. In it.
That's right. Room to breathe.
Room to do. Oh, they fit. Yeah, I'm all right. I'm a size 2.
You can't.
I'm a size 2, and you can't talk about how big I am.
I don't understand women's sizes versus men's sizes. I don't want a whole unisex world, but I do think there should be some.
I'm still a size. For everyone listening, I'm still a size 2 in dresses. I am just a size. Or size 0 in dresses, I'm a size 2 in pants.
Men's sizes start at like 1,000, and then women's go with like -100 to begin with, and then you work your way up to a 0, and then when you're a 0, you're kind of chubby. I don't
understand it.
I don't understand it. That's not true, obviously.
I hope that people are going to listen to this and take it seriously and be like, she says she's fake, she's a 2, and then they'll start a foundation in my name.
Oh, that'll be nice.
Yeah, I don't
and then
know.
You can have pictures on the cover of Vanity Fair, non-Photoshop.
Do you think it's weird that there are eating disorder walks?
Yeah, I do. I think there should be more eating disorder buffets, you know, and things like that. I don't think walking is what most people with eating disorders need to do. I think they need to sit down and eat.
It's just everyone's got an activist cause.
Maybe you have the mole between your eyes.
Yeah, some people it comment has its own Twitter account.
Yeah,
it's fine. I'm very proud of that. Well, I do the amyloidosis things. No one talks about amyloidosis, and my mom's dead because of it.
And we do need. Let's rename it. Can we call it something else so people can? It just rolls off the tongue.
Gonna kill ya.
Gonna kill ya is perfect.
It's like the average life after diagnosis. Average lifespan is less than a year.
Holy hell.
It's like it never works out well for anybody.
Has anybody ever lived?
I think maybe one, but it's like in terms of live, it depends on when it gets caught and if you can do the transplant. And it's like, you know, there's really no viable treatment options for it that are at a certain stage.
Right.
And it looks like other things. And since it's so rare, they don't test for it, even though the test for it's pretty simple.
Right.
But it's all about money.
Right.
Because not everyone has a treatment program for it. The place where my mom went in Boston was the only hospital. You know, there was like a Saudi prince with it that was there too.
Right.
Like, you know, so it's all about the thing about that is like insurance, equating healthcare and health insurance is ridiculous because then with health insurance, actually the doctors, the patient is not the customer.
Right.
The insurance companies are.
Right.
So it doesn't matter if the patient, like the doctors who misdiagnosed my mom, they have no idea she's dead.
Right. They don't care.
Yeah, they don't care.
Yeah, they can't.
They know that they got a lot of money off of testing her for every other fucking thing.
Right.
You know, and it is sick. But God,
I mean, it's insane. It's like going in with a sprained ankle and they test your wrists and they test your neck. Exactly. They give you an eye exam. I mean, it is nuts. It is, you know, these for-profit, insurance companies. I mean, obviously they're always going to be for-profit, but you know, it was never intended to be like this. Right. We were supposed to have a medical system that was more streamlined, and the doctors weren't supposed to get kickbacks every time they prescribed a drug for shaken legs.
Absolutely.
It's terrible.
What do you think about the marijuana can't have a gun thing?
Well, you know, it's interesting because it's still outlawed by federal, you know, by the federal government. So, I mean, I obviously think it's completely insane. I would much rather be around a stoned person with a gun than a drunk person with a gun.
Right.
But, you know, I am more. So basically the law is if you are currently stoned, you can't own a gun. Or if you are a recipient of medical marijuana, you can't own a gun. Is that correct?
Yeah, even if you have a card, because the lady in the case, she had a marijuana card to show support for medical marijuana.
Right.
She never even smoked it, and she can't have a gun.
I mean, I think this is interesting because this is where two worlds collide that are never really in the same battle together. This would be your NRA, your pro-Second Amendment conservatives, with your much more libertarian, open-minded liberal, although liberals are no longer open-minded.
No,
libertarian, liberals have come full circle into conservative,
yeah,
you know,
it's so messed up.
Chilling effect of silencing conversation. And things like that. But you have a libertarian idea of like freedom and like whatever I put in my body I should have. And then you have your NRA folks who never really see eye to eye, specifically when it comes to drugs. And when I say the NRA is like smoke weed every day, you know, it's not exactly the Snoop Dogg of organizations, but they're definitely going to have to side with the marijuana industry on this because it's right in their wheelhouse. So if we can use the NRA and the Second Amendment as a catalyst to get marijuana legalized all across this nation, there could be a good upside to it.
Yeah, I think
right?
So
I mean,
too.
Because once you start messing with gun rights, the NRA is like, what was that? You know, and they start to pay attention and they put their lobbyists in and they get their lawyers in there. So it might be a good thing at the end of the day. And how ironic and strange would it be if the NRA is the major reason that we get legalized marijuana across all 50 states?
It's all just such a mess because what bothered me was the wording of where they're like, well, there's links between drug use and gun violence. It's like, yeah, but not marijuana.
Yeah.
There's not people that are like, you know, smoked a bunch of pot and you want to go kill somebody. No, no, no. You're not going to do anything because you smoked a bunch of pot. You're going to stay seated.
It's a spurious relationship to say the least. I mean, it's insane to argue because somebody committed an act of gun violence, they happen to have weed on them, that these things are somehow, you know, even.
Exactly.
If you're in Chicago.
Correlation, not causation.
Exactly. If you're in Chicago and you shot somebody with a gun, there is a good chance you also have weed on you. But I don't think that the weed is really the issue. I think it would be more the, you know, systemic racism and the overall oppression of the individuals in Chicago because they've lived under Democrats before sliced bread was invented. Was the last time a Republican had any power in that in that entire city. So, I mean, those are the issues. So, yeah, I mean, they can correlate anything.
All right, Ben, we got around 5-ish minutes. Is there anything you want to talk about? Anything you want? What's on your mind these days?
Well, you know, I'm over there. We're doing very well with the podcast. Last podcast on the left, Able Against Top Hat. I had a great interview with Dr. Robert Fitrakis, who is he's the master of election theft. He talked all about the voting machines and stuff like that. So check out that show. It's called Abe Lincoln's Top Hat.
It's a good show. I've been on it before. It's nice.
It's nice. And it's on Cave Comedy Radio. So check that out. We're crushing Glenn Beck. We're destroying every other. The Federalist is gone. They're out of there. Whatever. You know, all these. Everyone's shows are gone. We're doing so much better than everyone. And then last podcast on the left, which is currently, I believe it's number 5 on the comedy podcasts. And no one knows who we are. So it's
but
just
you because, do you do good shit.
Yeah, it's a great show. No one knows who we are. We're number 5 on the comedy podcast. Every other podcast is promoted by huge industries with massive amounts of backing.
So the anti-corporate podcast?
We're the anti-corporate podcast. We've done it all ourselves. We're the Bernie.
You're the Bernie podcast.
We're Bernie. We're Gary. We're Jill. We're everything that's grassroots. We're everything that's good about this nation. That podcast.
Did you hear that Jill was late to an event, though, because she flew to the wrong state?
She was supposed to go to Columbus, and she flew to Cincinnati.
I want to vote for her because that's something that I would do.
Yeah,
I'm not good with logistics. I lost my keys.
Yeah.
And I found them on a hanger on a in my closet, and like there was no alcohol involved. I think I was doing laundry, and they slipped off my wrist because I had them on my wrist.
I think it's adorable that you just hang up your keys on a hanger.
I didn't mean to. It was an accident, but I love that she did that. I almost want to be like, girl, I feel you.
I do too, because if you ever come to New York and you get on the subway going in the wrong direction and it happens to be an express train or something, you're on it for 20 minutes and you're like, oh my God.
I'm just getting further and further away from my home and I can watch BoJack Horseman and eat noodles.
Yes. So check out Abe Lincoln's Top Hat, last podcast on the left. You're going to love both of those shows. Roundtable of Gentlemen is another program I do that you'll love. And I do the Ben Kissel Show, but I've been so busy. I do it like once a month now. But that's a wonderful program that Kat has also been on. So check out her episode on that.
I have more than one episode, Ben. Why don't you have me back? You don't like to spend Sundays with me anymore?
I'll spend every damn day of my life with you, Kat.
Uh-oh. Yep. So it begins.
Yes. We would be such a fun odd couple. I'd be like, Kat, can you stop banging that guy so goddamn loud? I'm trying to drink in the kitchen. Stop drinking in the kitchen, man. I'm trying to bang the guy in the living room.
You think that my life is so much more interesting than it really is.
Exactly what it would be.
It's really not.
Catherine, goddamn it, did you eat all the broccoli pizza? Oh, I did. Never mind.
Oh, man. I just want to... Everybody. Okay. Yeah, we're good. We got to get going. We've been, you know, Chad, Ben was a little late. So,
yeah.
Chad's here. Got his kid here. It's time to go home and...
I was late.
And it's okay, though.
I'm sorry.
I told you I've sent three people the wrong address to this place.
Yes, I do know.
I did it to
I literally only found it because of the Applebee's, by the
way.
We're right across the street from one, so it's
always
on my mind.
I did not do it, for the record. I did not do it this time. I did it to Jen. I did it to Mike Racine.
Mm-hmm.
And I did it a third time to Stavros.
I don't know who
Stavros Halkias.
Who's that?
He's a big fat kid who's got an Instagram of himself naked.
Oh, is that right? Well, I like him.
He's a comedian. Yeah, you should check it out. You'd like it.
I like it.
All right, everybody. Thank you very much for listening to the Kat Timp Show. Have a wonderful time. We're all going to die someday.
Hey, all right.